Bismillah. So here we are on the session 10 of Inner Life. Welcome all. So let's take a moment to begin with and just settle in our body, settle in our breath. Just allowing anything that was just before to wash away for this moment so that we can be fully present with each other and with our own hearts. And then noticing the breath in the heart, being connected with everyone else here on the screen, and also those of our sisters and brothers who are not here, not on the screen, but who are in our heart and connected in that way. So, kind of opening that heart space to include all our sisters and brothers on the path. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in, Ihdinas Siratal Mustaqim, Siratal Ladina An'amta Alayhim, Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Waladdallin. Bismillah. So we start today again with some reading, with a little bit of practice in between, just as usual. And we start with chapter 3, the fulfillment of the obligations of human life. That's an interesting title in itself. What do we make of it? What are the obligations of our human life? What do we consider that to be? And how do we fulfill those? So, Gataka, the position of the person leading the inner life becomes like that of a grown-up living among many children. At the same time, there seems outwardly no such difference as is apparent in the ages of the children and the grown person, the difference lying in the size of their outlook, which is not always apparent. Tasawuf. So basically, here we are talking a lot about this. The attitude of the Sufi, or the way we hold our hearts, or we start everything from the heart. Tasawuf, the philosophy, the words have no import unless there is a wider horizon. And in the teaching of the evolution of love from the Sufi standpoint, it is not always an intensity which is involved. It is the ability and capacity to enlarge the sphere of operation until the love can encompass the world, all peoples, and also all ages and all races. The growth of the heart may be compared to that of a tree. Also, that it grows in all directions and is an actuality and not merely an imagination. So, the growth of the heart may be compared to that of a tree that is growing in all directions, and this is an actuality and not merely an imagination. Kateka. One who lives the inner life becomes much older than those around them. And yet outwardly, they are the same as every other person. Therefore, the person who has arrived at the fullness of the inner life adopts quite a different policy from the one who is just beginning to tread the path. And also a different one to the one who knows intellectually something about the inner life, but who really does not live it. Tasawuf. There are many people who write books about yoga, the inner life, and similar subjects, but they do not fulfill the poetic vision of Edna St. Vincent Millay. The world stands out on every side, no wider than the heart is wide. You've probably heard some of our Sufi teachers in our lineage using this phrase every now and then. The world stands out on every side, no wider than the heart is wide. The real wide outlook is the extended and extending heart outlook. Those people feel at home with all and are strangers to none. And they are older in the sense that they take the attitude of an older person, not of a child. In their relations with others, they will be serious and then take on responsibilities. Those who do not take on the responsibilities, whatever else be true about them, can hardly be considered a full-grown adult. So I want to take a little moment here and just contemplate that for a little bit. The world stands out on every side, no wider than the heart is wide. And so I invite you to a little meditation. Just find yourself a comfortable position. And then we start with again centering the breath in the heart. And then as we breathe in, we feel as if we are breathing in from the space around us. You know, we breathe in the atmosphere, just everything that is around us. We breathe it in into our heart, taking it in. And then as we breathe out the love that is inside our heart. And then as you go on with this Very simple practice. You can visualize that you're taking in the impressions, the atmosphere from further and further away, breathing it into your heart. Everything that is there, taking it in. And then breathing out also further and further, thus influencing the atmosphere around you. Charging the atmosphere around you. With the love that you feel in this moment. You can visualize stretching the heart out even further, breathing in the atmosphere of the country you are in, and breathing out love to the same, area. Encompassing all, including all in your breath. And then stretching your heart space even further, breathing in and out, holding other countries, a whole continent, and perhaps the whole earth in your heart as you breathe in and as you breathe out. And if you like, you can breathe in and out even further, as if you are just a little speck in a galaxy, in a universe, breathing in and out the whole universe. Now the whole universe is contained in your heart. Just in your breath. And now visualizing our heart being held in the heart of the One. With the same love. I mean, so we keep our heart held in the heart of the One and continue with our reading. So we're continuing with the words of Murshid Sam again with Das Abuf when he's talking about those who are not taking on the responsibilities and you know, how true is their existence. And Murshid Sam says, those who enter some secret cult, whether they learn or not, so often fall into the traps of conceit and contempt. Instead of their capacity for empathy growing, sometimes it disappears altogether. And what they thought was an initiation, instead of helping them forward to self-fulfillment, actually throws them back. So if they progress, it is in some other direction than that of self-fulfillment. They may be called pseudo-mystics. One may meet many of them, and they use words in ways strange to the mystic. But also, they do not express the full heart love, which is the sign of development in the inner life. Gataka. The one who wishes to disconnect oneself from people, saying that others are backward in their evolution and that they cannot go with them. Such a one says, I am more advanced. I cannot join others in anything. They are different. I am different. They laugh at the petty ideas of those who surround them and look upon them as human beings with whom they must not associate, with whom they must not join in all the things they do because others, because they are so much more advanced than others are. Tasavvuf. No doubt there was a time for secret societies, a time when the ruling powers, generally the ecclesiastics, did not wish the generality to have any knowledge which was not under their control. This forced a good deal of knowledge and research underground. It made knowledge secret and thus occult. No doubt there are two very different meanings of the word occult. One is that the knowledge was kept hidden lest it endanger society and even humankind. And the other is that it deals with the worlds beyond the immediately seen. There is no need today for the first. But many organizations continue, and instead of increasing the moral standard and sympathy, they even diminish it. In the true occult sciences, the magus also must learn to extend their heart's way. So we just kind of go more into the same thing of their Murshid Sam and Hazrat Inayat Khan both go into this, you know, discussing all the secret societies and this. But what it leads to is quite interesting, which we are gonna get to in a moment. Kateka. But for the one who comes to the fullness of the inner life, it is a great joy to mingle with their fellow humans. Just as it is for parents to play with their little children. The best moments of their lives are when they feel as a child with their children and when they join in their play. Tasawuf. If one could associate with living teachers, they would find these people human and humane, although in their disciplines they often behave strangely. The Bodhisattvic vow is one to help all humankind toward perfection. This also involves an assumption that one has in some way reached perfection. But to be perfect is to be all-rounded, not superior in everything. One can learn to distinguish the true teacher from the false one. The true teacher does not consider themselves separate from humanity. Someday, when the life of Muhammad is presented without either the sanctimonious awe of some of his followers or the unhallowed criticism of non-believers, we shall see an example of an extraordinary man who was also extraordinary in being ordinary, fulfilling all his life requirements, also in being a true husband, father, and grandfather. It is in the records. But among Muslims, few outside the Sufis themselves have actually adopted these standards to be pursued in life. So Muhammad stands as a remarkable example. While there are many ways to differentiate the true teacher from the false one, people intoxicated with life easily fall prey to the false teachers. These false teachers often have some pretense. They maintain an attitude of superiority and aloofness. They do not join in games. They do not mingle, as does everybody else. The true teacher would never behave in such a way. It is only when he is functioning that he must fulfill the obligations of life and duty. So there are different ways that different traditions consider the role of a teacher, or, you know, the way that the teacher is. And the Sufis see a teacher as somebody who is living their full life, you know, being totally in this world, and at the same time being in the other world as well. You know, so one leg, or one foot in this world, and one foot in the other world, as you say. And it's. Some years ago, when one of my friends, who is a Buddhist nun, who came to my Sufi retreat, she said to me afterwards that, you know, that one thing that the Buddhists can learn from the Sufis is to take their meditation off the cushion. So, you know, again, just taking it into life. The Sufis see our role is not to just go into the cave and separate ourselves to meditate until the end of our life, but it is to bring those insights into the world and to live life, with whatever our insights are, and to live with that openness of the heart and being fully human. So I love that one. Okay, a little bit more reading and then we stop that. Gataka. Parents who are kind and loving, if a child brings to them a doll's cup, will pretend that they are drinking tea and that they are enjoying it. They do not let the child think that they are superior or that this is something in which they must not join. They play with the child and they are happy with the child because the happiness of children is theirs also. Tasawuf. Jesus has said that the kingdom of God belongs to the children, and organized religion teaches otherwise. Even many Sufis who hold that the way to wisdom is to associate with the mature were not entirely right. You do not always find human wisdom among the mature. That's an interesting one. You do not always find human wisdom among the mature. And you always find a natural wisdom among the young. So that Muhammad proclaimed that every child is born a Muslim, and in a sense of innate surrender, feeling the propinquity of God and expressing the wisdom of God, this is often so. And so, by playing with children occasionally and getting into their atmosphere, we throw off many of the weights of life which are not important, but which older people imagine to be important. Gataka. That is the action of the person who lives the inner life. And it is for this reason that one agrees and harmonizes with people of all grades of evolution, whatever be their ideas, their thoughts, their belief, or their faith. In whatever form they worship or show their religious enthusiasm. One does not say, I am much more advanced than you are, and to join you would be going backward. Tasawuf. The tuning of the heart, the process of unlearning, and the slight suggestions given to candidates and to disciples in their early period of studying contain all the seeds for further moral, occult, and mystical development. It may not seem so, but it is so. In the Gayan, it says of the holy ones and divine messengers that they were sent to be examples. And for some, they have been examples. But there is also the element of spontaneity and naturalness. If one is always keeping a code standard before one, they can be an imitator, which is not wrong. But they will not radiate the full goodness, the full godness, which is in them. When one has the manner of God, they behave toward humanity even as they wish God would behave. So this is where I'd like to stop, but I'd like to read this last paragraph again because I think it's just so illustrates the again the humanness and the living nature of what we are doing, that it is not enough to just know intellectually or learn or imitate. It's also like why we do the practices is to find that living connection with the practice and to find something that hooks us in that practice and brings that particular practice to life and makes it real for us so that so that it makes sense. Otherwise we can imitate and of course we can fake it till we make it, and that's also good. But the next step from that faking it till we make it is that really truly creating that connection with each practice. There is no point in repeating Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, or whichever other practice if we don't have that real live connection with that. You can just maybe repeat it once, but with that real feeling of, okay, well, where does this quality live in me? How do I connect with it right now? It might be totally different from the next moment, but how do I connect with it right now? So I'll read that last paragraph again. In the Gayan, it says of the holy ones and divine messengers that they were sent to be examples. And for some, they have been examples. But there is also the element of spontaneity and naturalness. If one is always keeping a code standard before one, they can be an imitator, which is not wrong, but they will not radiate the full goodness, the full godness, which is in them. When one has the manner of God, they behave toward humanity even as they wish God would behave. Okay. So I would like to do a practice now with you. And this practice is in answer to Robin, your message, which I have not responded yet. So we are gonna use two qualities of the one. So we finished talking about when one has the manner of God, one behaves toward humanity even as they wish God would behave. So the man, what is the manner of God? What is that manner? So you could say that this is the manner of a Sufi. This is the it's the manner it's the adab. Adab being the sort of the like an inner morality or inner like refining our qualities so that our manners become impeccable. And again, this is not imitation, or it's not about following a certain code of morals. It is the inner, our own inner standard somehow that we hold. So we are going to use the first quality that we are going to use is Ya Latif. Ya Latif. And this is the refinement. The subtle love, which is so subtle and so refined that it's kind of like ever refining one. And it helps us to reveal the finest mysteries of life. And it is the secret of kindness and tenderness. So it's very tender, very kind, and it's kind of it's so subtle that you cannot pinpoint it with a finger, or you can kind of not put your finger on it exactly, but it brings to us this gracefulness and tenderness in our way of being, and helps us to kind of not be defensive about our behaviors or our when we make mistakes, for example. It just helps us to let go of those defenses and increase the resilience and in this way. And then the second one we are gonna use is Ya Kabir. Ya Kabir. So it's in English it's written with K and H. So it's this Kabir, Kabir, like this. And that's the whole realm of inner knowledge. It's a skillful knowing. Coming from the root that means that a field where the tree is going, growing, where a tree is growing. So it's like we were talking before about the tree that grows in every direction, and that's the same with our heart. So this Ya Kabir is that kind of knowledge that embraces all of our inner world. And together with Ya Latif and Ya Kabir, they help us to understand and uncover these subtle mysteries of life. And in that way, they help us to hold ourselves in a manner of God. Okay. Ya Latif. Ya Khabir. 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 Ya Latif. Ya خبير. يا لطيف يا خبير 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 now breathing in لطيف breathing out خبير Breathing in that feeling of refining, refining our character, our behavior, our interactions. Breathing out, feeling that refined state being the door into subtle knowledge. And then letting go of the words and just breathing with that feeling. آمين. So for a moment, we can just again bring here our friends, our family, our brothers and sisters on the path, those who are important to us, and feeling them breathing with us in this atmosphere. And then connecting with our teachers, the lineage of teachers. We offer our thanks, our gratitude to our teachers and to all the beings of light who have supported us and protected us in our practice. Amen. Amen. Amen.